In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness from the dead and who has charged us to preach the gospel in spite of persecution. Text for meditation today comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, as we previously read. Now, of all the weeks for it to happen, I suppose that it was no coincidence that it happened this week. See, my family and I, we were returning from our vacation in Alaska, which was wonderful, and we were on our plane ride home from Alaska to Minneapolis, and the plane began its final descent into the airport, and that's when my ears began to ache. And for what seemed like more than the next half an hour, as the plane began to descend, the pressure in my ears just kept going up, and they kept aching. And I was chewing and chewing on gum and swallowing, and none of it was working. And I was jamming my finger into my ear, trying to relieve the pressure, and that wasn't working either. And so I sat in agony for what seemed like forever, and finally we landed, and then no relief. Nothing happened. Went on with the trip. We went and got the luggage. We went and got some food, hoping that if I swallowed, if I drank, if I chewed, if I did all the things every couple seconds, that finally one of the ears might pop. Well, it didn't. It was like at least an hour or two later that when I least expected it, finally, my right ear popped with a little bit of pain and then some sweet relief, but the left ear still as full as ever, still pressurized, still irritating. So the night passed, and we finished the final leg of the trip. We had to drive home from Minneapolis to Appleton, and same thing. Every couple seconds, I was itching, I was scratching, I was chewing, swallowing, trying to get it to pop, and no relief. Finally, we got home, and the days and the nights were passing, and the urge, the irritation was getting so intense that I was looking on Google for every possible remedy. Close your nose and swallow. Didn't work. Close your nose and blow gently through your ears. Didn't work. All of them worthless, to the point where I was getting so desperate, I was ready to do the things that Dr. Google explicitly said not to do, like jamming bobby pins or matches or Q-tips into your ears to try and relieve the pressure and scratch the itch. So great was my fixation, my irritation, my desire to get this to go away. That's a dangerous place to be, to not care about what is going into your ears, so long as it might provide you some relief in the moment. Now, I suppose it was no coincidence that of all the weeks, it happened this week. Because then, still with my ears full, I sat down on my desk to start studying the words of our text for today. There it was, Paul's words to Timothy. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, this week I learned more than I ever wanted to know about the desire, the intense urge of itching ears, and what it might lead you to do in order to relieve the pressure. And then of all the weeks, wouldn't you know it, here are Paul's words to Timothy, warning him about the spiritual danger that he and his congregation and his people are going to face, the danger of itching ears. That brings us to the two temptations that we need to talk about today, the temptations that are caused by itching ears. And the first temptation is for people in general, people, yes, out there, people in the world, but also for people in here. So don't think that you can dodge. And I sit in the same pews that you do on the weeks I don't preach. is for people in here too. And the temptation is for people to bind bad things, to put into their ears, to scratch the itch. To go out and allow something that you know is going to be bad to come into your ears, even to welcome it, to invite it in order to relieve the irritation that you've got going on. And Paul is warning Timothy about people who aren't going to want to put up with the truth of sound instruction because it might hurt to hear. It might feel bad initially. Instead, they're only going to want to hear what feels good initially, what scratches the itch, what feels like relieves their pain, but won't be good in the long run. That's a dangerous and desperate place to be, to not care about what kind of godless myths or false teachings are going into your ear, so long as it makes it feel better in the moment, so long as it scratches the itch. Paul goes on to tell Timothy about the great lengths that people are willing to go to scratch that itch. They'll instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, honestly, that's a brilliant solution of our sinful flesh, to go out and find somebody who will say exactly what we want them to say and then only listen to them. And I promise you, you will be able to go out and find somebody who will say whatever wicked thing you want them to say to soothe your conscience. The only problem with that solution is it will wind up killing you. Remember what it did for Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where God had given her a sure word, a sure promise, a sure command? God had said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." And then the devil came and created just a little bit of itch. She said, "Did God really say you must not eat?" And then he follows it up by showing her a way to scratch this itch. He says, "God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And that was all it took for Eve to turn aside from the sure word that God had spoken and to let her ears be tickled by the false promise of the devil and the knowledge that he said would come to her. And so she saw the fruit, which was pleasing to the eye, and she gave some to her husband, and they both together brought disobedience and death into the world. Just as God said would happen if they ate from the tree. Now, do you think the result will be any different if we simply replace the disobedience, the temptation, the urging of Adam and Eve with a different urge or itch that we want to scratch? Do you think it will be any different if we give ourselves over to the desires of our sinful nature, to do or to be something that God has said no to? No, it will not be different. It will end in our death. It'd be like standing next to one of those fence with the electric transponders and the power plant and all that stuff, wires everywhere, staring at the sign that says danger, high voltage. And instead of heeding the warning of the sign to keep away from there, it would be like listening to your bozo buddy who says, "Go ahead and climb it. You won't get shocked. You won't die. You'll be fine." You will soon find out who the liar is and what it feels like when you cannot free yourself from the electricity that is shocking your body to death. Turning aside from the truth will kill you. And that's why Paul is warning Timothy to warn his people as well. That brings us to our second temptation caused by itching ears. And this one is for preachers. First, for preachers who have been charged to publicly preach God's word to the congregation, but also for you who speak the word of God in your family and in your communities. And here the temptation is, because people want to hear what their itching ears want, the temptation is for preachers to start satisfying the itch, to start soft-pedaling the truth, or to change the truth, or to find a different truth altogether, which is no truth at all. The temptation is for preachers to tell people what their ears want to hear, to tell them that it's okay to live however they want, to love whoever and whatever and however they want, to be whatever they want, and that all the while they should be loved and supported and accepted while they do it. And that's a lie that is everywhere right now. It's outside the church. It comes from every TV commercial and show. And it's even inside of visible congregations where preachers have turned aside from the truth and began to tell the people what their itching ears want to hear. Both of those solutions to the problem, to those temptations, will end in death. Now back to my ears for just a second. As the week went on, I found out that, as you might expect, the cure for my pressure itching ears was not jamming things in there. It was not incessantly trying to itch them, trying to chew, trying to swallow to get it to go away. The cure was going to the doctor to find out that the intense pressure and ache that was brought on from the plane ride was only a symptom of the double ear infection that I had, one in each ear, even in the one that I thought was the good one. Doctor said, no, that one's bad too, and the other one is worse. And so the cure for my itching ears was medicine. It was antibiotics to work from the inside out to kill the infection and to change it from inside the ear to the out to get rid of all the symptoms. And the cure would require patience and endurance because it wouldn't happen magically that second. It was going to take a while to work. It was going to take a while to bring relief, relief that I am still waiting for as I preach with pressure-filled ears. And that cure is a little bit like the cure that Paul charges Timothy to use for his people. Itching ears need to hear the truth. And so Paul gives Timothy this charge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. That's the cure. That's the prescription that God gives to ministers like Paul and Timothy to give to their people, to relieve the infection, to relieve the itch. And it's something that's got to work from the inside out as it works on our heart and on our mind and then changes the outward symptoms. And it's a cure that's going to require time. It's a cure that we're going to have to be patient while it works. And Paul tells Timothy how to apply the cure. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Because people may not want to go to the doctor to hear what they need to hear. And people may not want to take their medicine. And they may think it's going to go away all of a sudden. But the results may not be immediate. And there may be more pain. Things might feel like they get worse as the law of God puts to death the infection that lives inside of us. It may require great patience and persistence, both to apply and to receive the cure, but it's exactly what itching ears need to hear, the truth for their correction. Now, whenever we're taking medicine, we always have to keep in mind that though there may be side effects, it might feel like it gets worse, it might feel like it takes forever, the goal is always relief. The goal is healing. The goal is restoration. And that's also the expressly stated goal of all of Scripture that Paul reminds Timothy of just a few verses earlier when he says, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." God doesn't tell the heralds of his word to preach the word just to make everybody miserable all the time. He tells them to preach the word so that in their misery, they will finally realize that everything we try to cure ourselves with is just killing us, so that we finally realize that there is only one cure that will actually work. It's the word that he has spoken to us. The word that, yes, points out our sin for our correction, but it's the word that also points to Christ for our salvation. It's the word that reveals the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Savior who has undone the sin of Adam and Eve and brought forgiveness for our every sin and for the sinful nature that infects us all, that's the cure. Itching ears need to hear the truth for their correction and also for their salvation. So as Paul gives Timothy a few more general reminders, he makes sure to mention that one specifically. Paul goes on, "But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Now, the word for gospel in Greek is related to that word evangelist. The word for gospel is oiangelium, and the first part of that word, oi, means good. And in the second part, you can kind of hear the word angel. You can hear that in evangelist. An angel is a messenger with a message. And so an evangelist is a messenger with the good message. And that's what Paul is reminding Timothy to do and to be as he's carrying out all the duties of his ministry, as he's correcting and rebuking. Don't forget, Timothy, be sure to bring and to share the good message. Be sure to share the good and trustworthy message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul knew he was the worst. And so he serves an example of God's unlimited patience for us as well, that we know we are a sinner that Jesus came into this world to save. That's the good message that overcomes the worst of the likes of us, and it's what gives Paul confidence as the chief of sinners to write the words that he uses to close this section. Here, the chief of sinners write with supreme confidence that he knows salvation is waiting in store for him and for every sinner who trusts in Christ. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which God, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So as we close, we pray, "Come to us, Lord Jesus, in the preaching of your word, and transform the itching of our ears into a longing for your coming again, and take us at last, whom you have healed by your own blood, to be with you forever. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.